If the jury had come back and said not guilty, that they felt there was reasonable doubt, and you knew that he had admitted his role, how would that make you feel?
That's interesting you ask that question, because Joe Hartzler asked me that question. About 6 months after the trial, I was up in Illinois. I went by to see Joe. His office was in the Paul Finley Federal Courthouse and Office Building, and I had worked for Finley. In fact, my office had once been in that building. I'd been over to see Mr. Finley, and I thought, well, I'll just drive over and see old Joe. So I called, and they said, sure, come on over. So Joe was there, and we were talking a little bit, and it was a difficult conversation because neither one of us particularly liked the other. And Joe asked me almost identically worded question. And I said, well, Joe, the only person that I know that freed somebody that was involved in the bombing is you. He said, me? I said, yeah, you. He said, where do you get that idea? And I said, well, let me ask you something. You believe Lori Fortier's testimony? Oh, sure. I said, well, let's think about that for a minute. Lori Fortier testified that she knew the date and place of the bombing and didn't tell anybody. She testified that she and her husband knew Tim McVeigh, that they had discussed the bombing, that she had gone out to the desert and seen him do this experiment. She testified that she had typed on the fake ID, Robert Kling put that address in North Dakota, wherever it was, the date of his birth, which was April the 19th of some year, that she actually laminated that, and that when Tim got ready to carry all that stuff back to Kansas, that she went out with Mike to the hotel room and put all that stuff in boxes and wrapped it in Christmas wrapping and helped Tim load it in the car. Furthermore, she testified that she and Tim McVeigh were on the floor of her trailer house and that Tim McVeigh took soup cans and showed her the configuration of the bomb. I said, now, Joe, what did you think Tim McVeigh and Lori Fortier were doing on the floor of her trailer house while her husband was gone? And I said, and another thing, when Michael Fortier read that statement to CNN News about how Tim was innocent, Lori Fortier wrote that statement. You know that. In fact, she wrote several drafts of it. You found them when you pulled a search warrant in her house. Now, Lori Fortier never served a day in jail, never was arrested, and sleeps in her own bed at night, and you're asking me what I think if Tim McVeigh had been acquitted? Let me tell you, that was the end of our conversation. That was it. But I submit to you that Lori and Michael were members of the conspiracy, but Lori Fortier was a very smart woman. She never opened her mouth. She had a good lawyer the court appointed to her, and Mac Martin. And when Michael said, well, Lori, you go first, when Agent Zimmy went out to the motel in Bethany where they were staying, she says to Michael, and it's in the FBI report, no, Michael, you go first. That's why Michael had to serve 12 years.
It was the lead prosecutor who you asked that question.
Yes.
He asked you that question. I'm going to press you again. How would you have felt?
I would have felt I did my job.
Because that's what the justice system calls for.
That's the role of an advocate. Lawyers, criminal defense lawyers, we are trained to have a different ethical scheme. Our duty is to the client. And it might seem strange that I say these things about Tim today, but I only say them because I told him not to break silence. There was a member of the defense team that was a consultant that he very much respected, a lawyer from Kentucky. This lawyer had told him, said, Tim, leave it a mystery. Don't talk about it. In our last conversation, I said, Tim, I want to tell you, I believe that you should not discuss it, but you and I need to have an understanding. If you go public and you try to say that Terry Nichols is innocent and that nobody else was involved but you, you have waived the attorney-client privilege and the rule of confidentiality, and I will answer you, and you need to understand that. Now, you don't say anything, I can't say anything. I think those were almost the last words I said to him.
And he broke that.
He did.
Cases will often affect lawyers' lives, at least one. Is this that one that affected your life?
No. I can't honestly say, as I understand the question, that it did. The key, I think, to my own understanding is William Faulkner's short story called Tomorrow. It's the only Faulkner work that was made into a short story, a novelette, a TV drama, a movie, and a play. In the movie, Robert Duvall plays the lead character. It's a beautiful story, complicated, but It's a beautiful story. And I'm sort of like the man in that story and my feelings towards McVeigh. I would say that the case that disturbed me the most is the young man that I represented that shot and killed both of his parents, who were wonderful people in the community, who had showered love and affection on him. A senseless, violent act.
And his name was?
Donnie Moreland, which was about a year before the bombing. A remarkable family, African-American. I was paid by the life insurance proceeds on his parents. His sister paid me. The family, it was difficult for them to understand. They lived around the Tyler Bullard area, Jacksonville in East Texas, and I guess that had a special appeal to me. And I even brought in a consultant, a lawyer in Los Angeles, who specializes in representing young people that kill their parents. Can you believe that there's an actual lawyer that specializes in that? And there was absolutely nothing. He wasn't insane. He was competent. He waived his rights. He had no defense. The police recovered the weapon. There was nothing except throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. 16 years old. It was premeditated. He thought about it. That's the case that haunts me and still does.
Do any blood relatives of McVeigh, did they stay in touch or be in touch with you?
No, his father is a wonderful man, but I suspect still in a state of shock. His sister lives on the East Coast, and his mother is emotionally, in my opinion, unbalanced, and his other sister refused to talk to us.
Well, I thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you.
For those who will listen for generations to come, they'll now know your side of the story.
Thank you very much for your interest.